Who is the greatest kung fu fighter of all time? Bruce Lee. And which comic book character is based on Bruce Lee? That's right, it's Shang-Chi, because your geek history lesson on Shang-Chi is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I am Jason Crouching Tiger Inman. Welcome to your Mind University, because this is Geek History Lesson, the podcast where we talk about one character, one construct, or one team from pop culture and tell you everything you need to know about them in sometimes less than an hour, sometimes exactly at an hour. Sometimes we go an hour and a half. There have been a couple of recent episodes lately that have gone more than an hour and a half. But today's subject of the Mind University.
It's going for 10 minutes for 10 rings.
Is it only a 10-minute podcast? Shang-Chi and the Legend of the 10-Minute Podcast. No, this will be a longer podcast. But this is Shang-Chi, the newest Marvel hero. Well, he's not really new to Marvel. He's new to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I mean, I'll say this about the MCU. He's arguably the handsomest Marvel hero.
Oh, you think so?
I think he's incredibly handsome, yes.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, we already know where our biases are going here. All right, yeah, hello.
Do you not think he's handsome?
Are we talking about the character? Wait, we are knocking this podcast. Are we talking about the character or are we talking about the actor, Simu Liu?
Well, in live action, he's portrayed by Simu Liu, so it's a value judgment on how he looks, yes.
I mean, he's a good-looking fellow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'm attracted to him. He's a good-looking fellow.
That's fair.
You know?
Okay. You know? Now that we're completely off the rails, less than 10 minutes.
Now, if you want to talk to me about Michelle Yao.
Oh, I mean, Michelle Yao, who could also
kill also in Shang-Chi.
Every single one of us.
Oh, 100%. And with a motorcycle off a train.
Yes, that's a super cop.
She brings her own motorcycle and her own train. Yes, we are way off there. Guys, this is going to be a fun one. Of course, we are talking about Shang-Chi because the Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, did I get that subtitle right,
yes.
Ashley? Thank you so much. is coming out in theaters at the week of the recording of this podcast. We will let you know, neither of us have seen the movie. There will be no spoilers. We are just talking about the comic book history of the character Shang-Chi so that you can absorb, you can think about your lotus pose. And then when you go into movie theaters or drive-ins, wherever you see the movie, and you can enjoy a little bit more of Shang-Chi, you know, because you have that knowledge from the Mind University.
Yeah.
So, Ashley, I think real quick, do we want to address the name issue, or do we want to wait on this?
I was going to do it later, but we can do it now. That's totally fine.
Let's do it right at the top.
So we are saying Shang-Chi because that is what all of the folk who worked on the movie are saying, Shang-Chi. If a Shang-Chi slips out, please know that that's not meant disrespectfully on our parts. That's how I thought the character was called for decades.
I would say most of the Western world.
I'd say most Anglophones, definitely.
Definitely,
yeah.
Thought it was a Shang-Chi for a very long time, but I'm going to respect the millions and millions of dollars they have spent on research and writing of this movie.
And the Chinese-speaking actors.
And the Chinese-speaking actors.
Also, Jason and I don't speak Chinese. It might shock you to learn that. So please give us some grace on the pronunciations, because we're going to do our best. And we're excited, so that we hope you will be excited. And learning new things and learning proper pronunciations and proper pronouns and things like that makes us all better people.
Yes. And also, of course, if this is your first Geek History Lesson podcast, welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Of course, you should know that it is impossible to cover every single detail of a character's history in about an hour long podcast. So we just touch on the things that we think are important or the things that we think are interesting. Now, Ashley, we do allow our listeners to suggest subjects to us.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any Mind University students who suggested Shang-Chi?
We have several many. I have two special shout outs in this episode. So my first special shout out goes to Bob Flores, who requested this episode back in GHL year one, 7 years ago. So... until this year.
Bob
was holding it down. Bob is also the reigning king of our fan topic suggestion list. He got his requests in early and often. He has, I think, the most requests also since we started naming TAs.
Yeah.
So special shout out to him.
Teaching assistants, in case you don't know.
And then, this year.
Bob Flores?
Bob Flores.
Bob. Well done. I mean, the rest of us are just Shang-Chi posers compared to
truly.
You. Yeah.
And then this year with the film on the horizon, he is also joined by Tom Trainer, Eric Azana at Psycho Red, Craig Campbell, Dano, Ben Walters, David Portnov, Benton Oliveris at Super_Unicorn16, at Carrie the Perrin, Jeremy Heaton, James Wilson, and Troy Fieri. You related to Guy? I need to know.
He's definitely a resident of Flavortown.
Fieri. And then I also want to tack on a special shout out to Carter Lee Garrett, because we worked together on an entertainment thing that I can't talk about while I was doing, I did a lot of my research for this episode on my downtime, and we met at a studio, and he was very nice, longtime listener of GHL. So special shout out to Carter as well for being a fun part of this episode.
Do you think Carter has martial arts training?
I will tell you this, Carter had the coolest shirt on the set, so I'm going to say yes.
All right, 100% accepted. All right, cool. Well, thank you all for, of course, if you want to suggest future lessons, you can do that at GHL Podcast on Twitter, or you can do that on our Facebook, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson. That's the two places where we check our list. We have a list of over 400 topics. It's looking like this podcast is not going to end anytime soon. But you know what is going to start, not end? That is the 10-cent origin, Ashley.
What's that, Jason?
That is this first section of this podcast where we give you the cliff notes, the basic who's its and what's its you need to know about Mr. Shang-Chi so that you can walk into that movie theater and you can seem really cool. And if you go to a cocktail party at a really cool dojo, you're going to know everything you need to know about Shang-Chi just by listening to this section of the podcast.
Do you know when I say who's its and what's its, do you know what that's a reference to?
Bed knobs and broomsticks.
you're in the same parent company, also the one that currently owns Marvel Studios. It's a Little Mermaid reference.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
She says that in the song, right?
Yes, because I know she's your, that movie's the bane of Jason's existence.
It's not the bane of my existence. The actual bane of my existence is Burn. The Batman villain. But... No, I just had, I was forced.
Yes, I
had a little sister who loved that movie.
Who had excellent taste as a child.
yes. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
I don't know if she listened to this or not. But she watched that movie quite a bit. And let's just say that, you know, all my enthusiasm for that movie has been wiped away by the thousands of viewings.
Hey, as someone also in that club, I think she has excellent taste.
I think it's, look, I have...
I'm just teasing.
Look, I didn't think the Shang-Chi episode was going to get derailed by Little Mermaid, but I will say this. I think it is an excellent film. I just don't ever care to watch it ever again. I never need to see that movie ever again.
Hashtag GHL Little Mermaid yes.
We will not do it.
Jason to watch it for its 35th anniversary or whatever's coming up.
We will not do it. I can promise you. Get to the 10th
anniversary.
You know,
I'm going to have Katie on and we're going to do the...
Do you think Shang-Chi could beat the Little Mermaid? I think so.
Well, she has no powers. So, yes, except being a hot 16-year-old. So, yes.
Is that a fair fight if he, like, karate chops a fish?
I think Ursula could take him, though. She's a tough lady.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, give us the 10-cent origin of Shang-Chi, please.
Shang-Chi,
this is
going to
be a great... We are 8 minutes in, Ashley.
Oh, this episode has a lot of monsters in it. It's going to be a journey, my friend. AKA the Master of Kung Fu, Brother Hand, and Commander Hand is a Marvel Comics superhero created by Steve Englehart and Jim Starlin. You should know them if you're familiar with this pod, Luminary Creators.
Jim Starlin, most famously known for creating Thanos.
Thanos.
Yep.
His first appearance was in Special Marvel Edition number 15 from December of 1973, and his team affiliations include the Five Weapons Society, the Avengers, Agents of Atlas, MI6, yes, the British one, Freelance Restorations, Marvel Knights, Heroes for Hire, Secret Avengers, Protectors, and the Underground. Why are you waving?
Freelance Restorations?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Freelance Restorations, actually. He's not a drywaller.
That's what I was... I was like, is Shang-Chi like putting up window frosting in between Kung Fu missions?
He is not competing in season 3 of Tough as Nails.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
His abilities include a martial arts master and mastery of chi, which I have to say feels racist for two reasons, because those are only skills you would give to a character of Asian extraction. And that is the shortest list of superpowers that I think we've ever had for a comic book character.
Well, because I don't think he really has technical superpowers, really.
He doesn't, but also neither does Batman. But when you do research on like Bat family characters, also because there's just a lot more material, it's like this and this and this and this and this. And this.
So, I could be wrong about this as well. I do believe that mastery of chi is a trait that we gave to Iron Fist.
It is as well. Yes. So it's been given to a couple other martial arts.
It's very much
characters.
A martial arts thing.
We address it in Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Legend of Korra in various forms. Firebenders do that a lot.
I want to say it's more, I think, a shorthand just for writers that don't know that much about martial arts.
Or maybe Eastern philosophies there or magics go. To be like, this is magic, but all I know is chi.
Yeah, I think so. I think you nailed it.
Or ki, as it would be pronounced in Japanese. And he is portrayed in live action by Canadian superstar Simu Liu.
Mm.
So that is your 10.
Did I say it wrong? Is it Simu?
So I have been saying Simu for a long time.
So have I.
But he says Simu. So I am trying to, again, correct my pronunciation.
Well, Simu, I apologize. I'm sorry, good sir.
We love you. You're handsome. You're welcome on the show anytime.
Yeah, come on. Come along. We know you're listening.
Exactly. So if you don't know this, friends, all the new listeners who are coming to check out our Shang-Chi episode, I would encourage you, if you like this lesson and you want to hear more from Jason and I, to head over to patreon.com/Jawin. That is spelled J-A-W-I-I-N, where we do, Jason usually says 4 or 5. It's typically closer to like 6 or 7 now with the way Justice Pod is going. Extra
Exclusive podcast, yep.
Only available on Patreon every month. Sometimes we do more because we just feel like doing extra ones for you. And we are going to talk about other kung fu superheroes this week. Mm-hmm. And little spoiler, we're having a very special guest come to stay with us in the near future. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be joining us for our full Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings movie review next week.
Which you can only hear.
Yep.
Next week on Geek History Lesson Extra Podcast, which is the bonus podcast on patreon.com/Jawin. So go over there. You help support the podcast. Look, we know times are tough out there, and we know that everybody is budgeting and everybody's like that. You know, we make sure you get the bang for your buck, because there's Geek History Lesson Extra. There's Jason and there's so many Jason and whatever podcasts now.
Yeah, Jason, it's called branding.
Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures, yes. Which is our podcast where we go super personal. And we just did a great episode about, like, where I talked about how a TV writer's room works, a professional television writer's room works.
Which, by the way, we're thinking about doing a 2.0 lesson on next
and
year.
And then we also do, there's 2 episodes monthly of Jason and Jeremy John about Justice League, which is our Justice League podcast review. We review Justice League the anime series. So if any of that sounds cool, head on over to patreon.com/Jawin. And thanks you to all the super friends who are currently over there. Because they get to hear all the extra fun stuff. Like, guys, if you think this episode is already off the rails, we generally don't go off the rails as much, but I think it's because we're both excited about this character and we're both excited about this movie. But thanks to the super friends, go check it out. Ashley, let's keep on moving on. We're gonna go to the meet cute, where we first meeted and cuted said character. It's a term we stole from romantic comedies.
Yeah.
Ashley,
Where
did you first meet Simu Liu? No.
I've never met him yet.
Yeah, that's well done. Yeah,
but let me humble brag. Have chatted socially with a member of Kim's Convenience.
I'm calling him right now. No, just kidding.
Hello, Mr. Redacted.
Where did you first meet the character of Shang-Chi?
I'm very sad to tell you that I have no idea. And I never read a Shang-Chi story before prepping for this episode, unfortunately. Dun, 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 dun. But I will say that I was impressed, especially with some of the Silver Age stuff that I did come across. Mm-hmm. And I am really glad that Marvel is exploring the kung fu mystical side of their offerings without using a white guy character.
Yeah.
So I unfortunately don't have a great answer for my meet cute. So please, Jason, outdo me with a better answer.
Shang-Chi is kind of a character. And as I knew him in the 90s, I thought it was Shang-Chi. But remember, if you've listened to past episodes, I thought it was the Phalanx. So, how do you say that, actually?
Phalanx.
Yeah, I'll never say that. I kind of always was aware of him.
Mm-hmm.
But the two specific stories, I don't think either of these were the first Shang-Chi stories that I read. I remember him popping up in the John Ostrander Heroes for Hire in the 90s, which is a great run. It was the Heroes of Hire they did when they had also shunted the Avengers over to Heroes Reborn. A lot of interesting. That's where the Thunderbolts came from. It's a very exciting time in Marvel comic book history.
Jason's faves, the Thunderbolts.
Well, it's just like, because you could feel the spark of creativity. So I remember Shang-Chi there. And I really remember Shang-Chi in the early 2000s when he popped up because Brian Michael Bendis used them in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Okay, so
and
that
he kind of made him a bad guy.
Yeah, so Spider-Man's actually going to come up more than I thought.
Well, Shang-Chi is typically a New Yorker kind of character.
Yeah, I mean, so is every Marvel.
Yeah, I know. Come on, Stan Lee. Go outside of New York.
Hey, it's the greatest city in the world. I get it.
What?
Yeah.
No.
That's a true,
I think we all,
a true fact.
No, I think we all know this is Boise, Idaho. Right, everybody?
Hey,
come on.
Shout out to Boise, though. I'm sure Boise's lovely.
Hey, if you're listening in Boise, Idaho right now, you're listening to Geek History, you live in Boise, Idaho, please send us an email at geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. I will send you a comic book. I will send you a signed issue of one of our comic books.
And then take a picture of it outside the sign for Boise.
Or wherever. But I will give this to the first person that emails us at geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. I will give you a signed comic book. Super Best Friend, Jupiter Jet. I will send you
whatever.
A signed comic book.
Whatever. Yeah.
I'm excited. Hello,
please,
Boise.
Please just ask us for like any old comic book and just have Jason sign it. Like I would like an issue of Die, Die, Die signed by Jason Inman.
I'm not. You don't get to request what the comic book is. I will give you a comic book. We will sign it. That's what you get.
So there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
It's Boise. What's next, Jason?
I don't know. Where are we?
We're at the big part of the episode.
Have we finally got to the main episode?
Yeah.
I'm worried.
We're only 15 minutes. This is actually 15 minutes. It's the exact part where we're supposed to get to the History 101.
Ashley, can we have a sidebar in the podcast?
Yeah. Right? Okay. We're going to approach the bench.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like this episode is really off the rails, and I'm really worried that like people... This might be their first episode of Geek History Lesson. Like a lot of people might be coming for Shang-Chi. I think there's
a good chance, actually.
I think Simu might have told some of his friends about this podcast. They might be listening right now. And I think we're like, 15, 16 minutes in. And I think they might be worried. They might be like, these people are clowns.
Well, we are.
Well, of course. I went to clown college.
I mean,
I flunked. I flunked out.
We both have theater degrees, so we technically,
we definitely did.
Very much went as close to Cal College as you can.
But no, I mean, how do you think
so? Simulu didn't even go to theater school, so.
Is that true?
Yeah, he has a degree in accounting, I think.
Really?
Yeah, no, he has a real person degree.
Okay.
He's smarter than both of us.
That was never in question.
but Andrew Fung teaches improv, so he is like a professor of clown college.
You better explain who Andrew Fung is. That's too insidery.
I don't think it's that insider. Andrew Fung is one of the other performers on Kim's Convenience.
Simu's best friend, yeah.
He plays Kim Ji.
We are getting very inside baseball on this one. All right, let's go back to the main. All right, we're back.
Did you miss us?
Yeah. Ashley, we're going to go into the main discussion.
Yeah.
Of the episode.
What do we call it?
The main discussion?
No.
The main meat?
No.
What do we call it?
The History 101.
Oh, there you go.
We've been doing this for 7 years.
Hey, Ashley, we are almost to 400 episodes, and I don't think you could tell me what any of the crises are. So,
Oh my God, every single time, there's such panic. This is why we haven't won a podcast award yet. Mm-hmm. So, because this is Geek History Lesson, I want to start with a little bit of publication history. So, Shang-Chi came about because Marvel wanted to acquire the rights to the television show. Jason?
Kung Fu.
That's right. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
The David Carradine show,
yes,
right?
Sir. Mm-hmm. But they were denied by Warner Communications, who were mad because of DC, because they own DC. So they bought the rights to Dr. Fu Manchu instead.
I just want to give everybody like a little bit of a timestamp here. Kung Fu started in 1972, ran for 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And Shang-Chi was created in 1973. Mm-hmm. So.
For ABC, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Fun fact, the first time I went into the library at DC Comics, they have a library and archive there. And if you're a guest, they'll show you some of their cool old comics.
Where they have every single issue of DC Comics that has ever been published.
Uh-huh.
At least one copy.
They showed me an issue of Detective Comics that had Dr. Fu Manchu on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was weird because DC also owned the publication rights to that character at one point. So Shang-Chi was developed as a protagonist to Dr. Fu Manchu's villain, and he was intentionally modeled to look like Bruce Lee, which was what my introduction was all about, who was a gigantic star at the time and is an icon today. And I do want to give a shout out to artist Paul Gulacy, who designed Shang-Chi, because he didn't draw the first stories that he was in, but he designed the character. So props where props are due. Following his first 3 appearances in the special Marvel edition book, which, by the way, clunky title, I think you could do a rewrite, was his title was renamed The Hands of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, because Kung Fu media was incredibly popular at the time. And so the book took off immediately and actually became pretty popular. In these earliest appearances, Shang-Chi crossed over with White Tiger, Iron Fist, we have a couple different lessons on, and the Daughters of the Dragon, who we also have a lesson on. So kind of Marvel's stable of martial arts characters.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the early popularity of Shang-Chi, there was, in his publication history, a 34-year gap before he was brought back into the modern age of comics amidst Marvel's more like diversity effort and part of their larger multimedia sphere push. So let's get into the actual stories. It's time to talk Shang-Chi again. I don't speak Chinese, except for having watched a couple episodes of Ni Hao Kai Lan. So I'm happy to receive corrections if I mispronounce something. Just know that I'm going and doing my best, and please be kind. That's all. So Shang-Chi was born in Henan province, the son of Dr. Fu Manchu, which I didn't know. This was news to me. Jason's nodding.
I knew that.
So I think it was not news to him. He's actually mixed race. His mother is a white American woman who was genetically selected by his father for breeding with. So I didn't know that Shang-Chi's also originally mixed race. I thought that was really neat.
I knew that as well. And just for the thing of the Fu Manchu, and I don't know all the details of this, but there was... I think the omnibus has finally been published, but there was a Marvel omnibus of the original Shang-Chi run that was completely out of print for so long because of the rights issues with Fu Manchu, because Fu Manchu was all over it.
Yep.
Because it was originally his comic, not Shang-Chi's.
Exactly. So Shang-Chi was trained pretty much out the womb in martial arts by a series of tutors and tricked into believing that his father was a popular humanitarian. So basically think of Damian Wayne being raised to believe that his father is actually Tony Stark. That's kind of the vibe that we're going for. Shang-Chi's first outing sent him on a mission to London to kill Dr. James Petrie, a man Dr. Fu Manchu claimed was a threat to world peace. So Jason, let me ask you.
Yes.
If your father sent you to assassinate a threat to world peace, would you do it just to win his approval?
Well, first of all, I'd be so impressed because my dad never did that. So I'd be like, wow, I get to go to London? So probably yes.
So Shang-Chi, like Jason, did, of course, because it's just a good hero's journey storytelling, and it abused him immediately with this fatal flaw and an obstacle to overcome.
Sure.
So shortly thereafter, he learned of his father's true identity as the evil mustache trolling villain, which he is, and the motives as one of history's most iconic baddies. Shang-Chi fled to New York to confront his mother, because that's where she was living, and deal with the weight of what he had learned, only to be kidnapped and held by one of his father's henchmen in one of his many international lairs. Now, Jason, what do you think Shang-Chi swears upon his escape from Daddy Fu Manchu? What does he swear?
Vengeance on his dad?
He swears they are now enemies. Yes, okay. That is correct. You're 2 for 2. You're doing a great job in the pop quiz.
Have you said Shang-Chi's mom's name yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Would you like to?
No. Do you know it?
Nope.
So I was curious about her name, and I was Googling as you were speaking here, and according to the official Marvel Wiki, if you look at Earth 616, Shang-Chi's mom is called Shang-Chi's mother.
Shang-Chi.
I'm sorry. My apologies.
That's okay. I was going to say, I don't think she has a name.
Well, I bet they'll update that pretty quick.
Yes. So Shang-Chi doesn't have any full-blood biological siblings at this point. Big asterisk here.
Oh, we know where that's going, everybody.
But he does have an adopted brother named Midnight. And this is important because Shang-Chi breaks from his father in Midnight, grows closer to Dr. Fu Manchu, and is often used as a pawn against Shang-Chi. They're pretty much always trying to kill each other in the 70s. While on the run, Shang-Chi befriends a couple of MI6 agents, you know, very casually, named, the most British names of all time, Sir Dennis Nayland Smith and Black Jack Tar, which leads him to an early alliance with the English espionage organization.
Sir Dennis, is that what you said?
Sir Dennis Nayland Smith.
Sir Dennis Smith, okay. All right.
This is the same time period when Shang-Chi began to work with an MI6 agent named Leiko Wu, who remains his eternal on-again, off-again girlfriend through the contemporary comic books, including in Jean Yang's recent run on the title. She is one of the characters that I think, having not seen the movie, this is me totally talking out of school, I think Awkwafina's character is secretly a version of her.
I agree. I agree.
I don't think she's just Katie, his friend from San Francisco. I think she's secret. She's some secret agent, kind of like Leiko Wu.
Yeah, you're going to, I think by the time you get to the end of the movie, she'll say or change her name.
Yeah.
And we will realize that it is some character from Marvel Comics.
Exactly. So along with his secret
everybody that has seen the movie is screaming.
I know. Right. Hi, Brian Tong. Hi, Wendy.
Brian Tong and Wendy.
Well, we know they've seen the movie.
Well, a lot of inside baseball in this episode. What are we doing here?
Wendy's been on the show.
I know, but the listeners don't know these people.
I mean, Google Brian Tong. He's very successful. Along with his secret adopted brother, in the proud tradition of Star Trek, Shang-Chi also has a secret sister named Fa Lo Sui.
I thought you were going to say Michael Burnham.
Oh, my God. That's no.
Talk about some inside baseball.
Not Michael Burnham, who leads an opposing martial arts faction and dreams of wresting control of their father's organization away from her brother. By the way, he doesn't have control over that organization, but that's what she thinks. This is another theme that Jean Yang will borrow in his modern reboot of Shang-Chi, but more on that later. And it's also a different secret sister. Working alongside his League of International Super Friends, Shang-Chi founds Freelance Restorations Limited, which is an independent espionage organization free of national ties or alliances and based out of Stormhaven Castle in Scotland, because Shang-Chi knows that Scotland is the greatest country in the whole wide world. And I say that without irony. Scotland is dope.
Ashley, that is my...
red alert?
Well, it's red alert sound effect. My spidey sense is tingling.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like the red alert from Star Trek. You said that this was an independent organization, free of other alliances. Uh-huh. That sounds a lot like...
Tell me.
The Kingsman. So I think we now know that...
Are you calling out Mr. Mark Millar?
I'm not calling out. I'm just saying that Mr. Mark Miller...
Miller.
Is... probably a big fan of Shang-Chi or Shang-Chi, excuse me.
He could be.
Yeah.
He's got great taste, so yeah. Probably.
So that's probably where that came from. Interesting. Go.
While working with Freelance Restoration, Shang-Chi witnesses the death of his father, Dr. Fu Manchu, quits the spy game, cuts off everyone he's ever associated with previously, stops being a superhero, and moves to Yangtin, which is a remote village in China. This does sound like a silly superhero story turn, but it's one of, I think, the healthier coping mechanisms for dealing with grief we've ever heard about in superhero fiction.
Actually, the funnier thing that got me there was the fact that Fu Manchu, that term, because it is, you know, basically a way to wear your beard and your mustache.
Yeah,
now.
It's become a little bit.
It has permeated pop culture, I think, across the world. And so for us, that name is enough just to be like, oh, he's Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
But for this story, he's Dr. Fu Manchu.
Well, I
am a doctor.
I wanted to say that because I didn't know that he was he's a mad scientist
of course,
type.
Of course.
And I wonder if
But Lex Luthor doesn't say, call me doctor.
Is he a doctor?
I'm pretty certain he is.
But I also wanted, because I didn't know if that was like a subtle racism that has erased the title from that character. So
perhaps,
I felt it was important
maybe?
To add it back. Now, I want to ask you, I want to go through the main movie Avengers, and I want you to tell me how you think they deal with grief. Because we know Shang-Chi went to a remote province and did some meditation.
This is quite
reflection.
A left turn.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. How do you think Iron Man deals with grief?
He drinks.
Hulk.
He hulks out.
Captain America.
Captain America buries his feelings inside and just stares out a window and looks at lots of sunsets.
Thor.
Thor goes to another planet and drinks.
Black Widow.
Black Widow kills someone.
Hawkeye.
I think Hawkeye plays video games and binges on pizza, gains 30 pounds, and then finally decides to work it all off.
So again, I think Shang-Chi has better coping mechanisms
okay.
than any of the other Avengers. You really nailed Clint. Drag him.
I think it's every time somebody, well, because they're everybody, most fandom knows movie Hawkeye, and they're like, yes. Oh, he's a family man, and it's like that is not comic book Hawkeye. Comic book Hawkeye is a mess.
Yes, which is what we love about him.
And I kind of feel that every time Clint Barton, the comic book version, deals with death, he like disappears for 6 months.
Yeah. It plays Grand Theft Auto with Pizza Dog.
Or yes, yes. And they don't see him.
Yeah. And maybe Nat checks by to see he's still breathing every once in a while. Yeah,
and then he wanders back in the Avengers mansion and is like, all right, I'm ready again. They're like, we thought you were dead.
Yeah. But because this is comics, after an indeterminate amount of time later, Shang-Chi returns to the field with the same set of allies that he always has. He fights a terrorist group called Argus. No, not that Argus.
Not the DC Comics no. Argus, yeah.
Gets tortured, gets poisoned, and is saved by a magical potion called Elixir Vitae. Made by who, Jason?
I don't know.
Dr. Fu Manchu! Of course, surprise, he's alive because comics.
Oh, okay, so we're still in the Silver Age yes. stuff. I thought we had done the time jump.
Oh, no. Okay. Shang-Chi then joins up with his MI6 buds to fight his father and Moving Shadow, another secret half-brother.
Lord, this is a big family.
Well, there are like 10 more to come.
What?
I'm not joking. I'm not going to name all of them, but there's a lot
Maybe
more
Maybe the
come.
Movie should have been called Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Secret Siblings.
Yeah, really.
And it's the just, 17
it's
siblings.
It's just like that movie where Vince Vaughn plays the sperm donor. That's what Shang-Chi is. Just him trying to connect all of his half siblings.
Everyone, this episode is all over the place. I don't know. I did not expect a Vince Vaughn reference in a Shang-Chi episode.
You like Vince Vaughn.
What? No. Just move on. I don't know what we're doing here.
This fight ends up tragically killing Moving Shadow, and he dies at the hands of their father for failing to kill Shang-Chi in the first place. Then, when Heroes for Hire reforms the first time, and it's been like a billion reformations since then, which Jason's referenced earlier, Shang-Chi joins them.
So now we're in the 90s.
Now we're in the... This is the time jump.
Okay, all right.
So, they reform... It's been a billion reformations since then. Shang-Chi joins. They struggle under the leadership of a character named Humbug, who decides whether or not they're going to operate more as heroes or villains. Because even though they're called Heroes for Hire, they kind of play in more of a gray area than like your Avengers team typically do.
They work for a corporation in this run.
Yeah, because they need money.
Mm-hmm.
Shang-Chi mirrors the team's struggle internally, which is really good writing, when he snaps the neck of Humbug after he expresses no qualms about torturing the team's enemies. So Humbug's basically a bad leader. Shang-Chi doesn't like that. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to quit because I don't know if I'm a hero or a villain if I am associated with them.
That is something that happens in the comic books quite a bit with Shang-Chi that I think the Marvel movie will completely wipe away because, you know, every Marvel movie is nothing higher than PG-13.
Yes.
And Shang-Chi in the comics will just snap a person's neck at the drop of a hat.
Okay, so I literally have a discussion point here that I wanted to talk about this.
Did I get ahead of you a little bit?
It's literally my next note in the lesson because this was a point of contention when Man of Steel came out. Yeah. I know you and I are sick to death of this argument, but how do you feel about superheroes killing or acting in extreme ways in order to learn a lesson and evolve and become their best, most perfect heroic selves?
I think it really depends on the character.
Of course, fair. Fair.
Because, you know, we all know that the DC comic pantheon is very much no killing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll let Wonder Woman break it here and there.
Or Batman.
No, they actually are pretty good about never letting Batman. Like the only person.
Well, he pushes people off roofs.
Well, accidental murder is kind of accepted.
Yeah.
But like Batman, really, the only person he's actually murdered is Darkseid. He shot Darkseid, but Darkseid survived it, so it technically wasn't a murder.
Yeah, it like undoes itself.
But Wonder Woman has killed people.
Yes, she has. Yeah.
Yes, and she's still a part of the Justice League. Yep. And nobody cares. Superman has killed people in the comic books too. Mm-hmm. In the modern age, but generally the idea is no killing, right? Yeah. It's interesting because in the Marvel universe, it's kind of a little bit all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like some characters are okay to kill.
Punisher.
And some characters won't. Like Spider-Man will always hold that line of like no killing.
Yeah, and then sometimes he gets killed.
Well, and then sometimes Captain America will kill somebody. Mm-hmm. Or Black Widow.
It's literally an assassin.
She shoots guns.
Yeah.
So you know she has killed somebody. With a character like Shang-Chi, especially since we're talking about the classic Shang-Chi at this point, the thing I do like about Shang-Chi that I've always thought is interesting, and you know, I understand that like we're going to get to a version where his dad will no longer be Fu Manchu.
Yes, you were going to tell us that.
Yep. And that is obviously going to be what they're doing in the movie as well, because
yes.
I have not seen Fu Manchu in any of those trailers. And if that is the after credit scene, I will be blown away.
I actually think the better move is to not. I think the better move is to let Dr. Fu Manchu be a relic of his era.
I agree. He is a very problematic character. I agree. I was a joke.
I know. That yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But the one thing I do like about Shang-Chi is that he was raised by a villain.
Mm-hmm.
That is like the most fascinating thing about him. So for a character like Shang-Chi, I like the idea that every once in a while, if you push him too far, he will kill you.
Like it's like the idea that like if you, this is an extreme, I guess, metaphor. Like if you kick a dog too many times, it'll bite you.
That's yes, exactly like that. Like he will lose his control mm-hmm. in the middle of battle if he is tired or whatever. And he'll try to not kill people most of the time,
mm-hmm.
but you gotta be careful. Everyone. Yeah. You poke him too many times and he is just going to like five finger punch and stop your heart.
Yeah. 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 So Shang-Chi next goes on to be a pretty prominent part of the Shadowland, the Daredevil story.
Yeah.
Where he first appears fighting against the Hand's ninjas. And then he steps into a mentor role for Spider-Man. Kind of like Jason brought up earlier. He trains Spider-Man in Kung Fu. And Peter actually develops his own style underneath Shang-Chi's tutelage.
Spider-Fu.
It's called The Way of the Spider.
I know, but it's like nicknamed Spider-Fu.
It's called The Way of the Spider.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Marvel official Way of the Spider. So the question is obviously, could we see this tract being what Shang-Chi is going to take in the MCU? Would you like to see Simu Liu's Shang-Chi take Tom Holland's Spider-Man under his wing in place of Tony Stark?
It depends on the contracts.
I just said, would you like to see it?
Sure. I don't think Shang-Chi will take on a Tony Stark role.
I don't think so, because I think Doctor Strange is taking on that role.
Yes, I agree. But I could see Shang-Chi. I think Shang-Chi will do this for some character in the Marvel Universe. I don't think it'll be Spider-Man.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I also wanted to talk about Shadowland a little bit during this episode, because it's a Daredevil event.
Should I explain it?
Daredevil's a huge part of it. Sure.
It's written by Annie Diggle.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the idea that the Hand, the demon that the Hand, the ninja organization, mm-hmm. they worship, basically possesses Matt Murdock. And he, like, takes over a section of Hell's Kitchen
mm-hmm.
and calls it the Shadowland and says it's controlled by the Hand, and basically all the Marvel heroes, the Kingpin, all the villains are basically fighting evil Daredevil.
And
it's an okay storyline. It's a good idea.
I feel like there's a lot of comic book events that are like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I also wanted to bring it up because this is only rumor and conjecture at the time of the recording of this podcast, but there is rumor and conjecture that Daredevil is going to be part of Far From Home.
The Spider-Man movie.
The Spider-Man movie. Yeah. So, I mean, if Shang-Chi is going to be part of this universe, maybe they do a version of this or something kind of like this, even if they lift it and put it in a different story.
Sure. It'd be okay.
I mean, I don't know if I believe he's actually in that movie, but it's just fun to put your tinfoil hat on and think about it sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
So then Secret Avengers gets a pretty major retcon for Shang-Chi. So listeners who are only familiar with the contemporary Shang-Chi, like Jason mentioned earlier, have probably been screaming into their phones about Shang-Chi's father being named Zhang Zhu and not Dr. Fu Manchu, and you are both right and wrong.
Is Zhang Zhu a doctor?
He's not.
Come on, Zhang.
He's a long-lived mystic.
Zhang. We all know the importance of education here, okay?
He's been alive since the 1800s. Give him a break.
Then he should especially know the importance of education.
The fact that he can read is quite something.
If he saw electricity being born around the world, how would he not? Like,
he saw the Boxer Rebellion, according to...
Come on, Zhang. I don't...
Story that I read.
Look, I'm not a person to be like, hey, do more with your life, but Zhang, come on.
Yeah, this is mostly the character that I'm apologizing for pronunciations on, because the name is pronounced Z-H-E-N-G, and I consulted the internet and heard many different pronunciations for this name, so I'm going with the one that works the easiest for
copy
vocabulary.
That.
So I was going to ask you if you knew...
How to pronounce it?
Why,
I do not.
Yeah, how do you... how is your Mandarin?
How's
your 19th century Mandarin specifically?
Not good.
I was going to ask if you knew why Dr. Fu Manchu got retconned out of being Shang-Chi's dad, but we already talked about it.
It's a rights issue.
Yeah, Marvel lost the rights.
Yeah. I'll do a quick Google. I'll figure out who owns them now.
Sure. And during their latest reunion, Xingzhu attempts to sacrifice Shang-Chi in order to energetically complete his corporeal resurrection, but is interrupted by the Prince of Orphans. Jason, have you ever heard of the Prince of Orphans?
The Prince of Orphans is an Iron Fist supporting character. He is one of the... Because there's so many groups that are the five of
the Council
or the
seven.
Well, he's one of the living weapons, because Iron Fist is considered to be a living weapon.
Yes,
in the Prince
but he's
of
also
Orphans.
On the yeah. Council of Seven. Yeah. His name is John Amon.
Too many like different like yes. number of this and backwards of that and twist of that.
But he's important because he saves Shang-Chi from being killed so that his father, his evil daddy, can come back to life. So due to his close relationship with Spider-Man, Shang-Chi does fall victim to the events of Spider Island. Now, when I look back on it this month, might have been the first thing I ever read with Shang-Chi in it, because I have read Spider Island. And he is plagued by nightmares of spiders eating children, legitimately scary, while certain of his abilities are transferred to Spider-Man at the time, because this is when, due to the events of Spider Island, there's a lot of like powers going around. So some people get spider powers, some people's powers go to Spider-Man. It's really neat. He appears alongside the immortal weapons at the end of the event in time for the big boss battle against the Spider Queen. She's cool. If you are not familiar with the events of Spider Island and don't think you might ever read it, just Google the Spider Queen, Spider Island. She's fun to look at. Then Marvel Now happens. Jason, what's Marvel Now?
Marvel Now is just a soft reboot of Marvel where they put Marvel Now on the covers and just said, hey, we're Marvel Now.
And everything kind of went back to number one.
Yeah, but nothing changed continuity wise. Real quick,
yes.
Before, I cannot find who owns Fu Manchu at the time, but I did find that that Secret Avengers run is that they didn't immediately just say the character, say that Shang-Chi's father was Zhang Zi. Mm-hmm. They apparently addressed the Fu Manchu thing in the storyline and said that Dr. Fu Manchu was his alias.
Yes.
So that he was always Zhang-Zi.
Zhang-Zhu, yeah.
Or Zhang-Zhu, yeah. Excuse me. But no, I can't. I can't find. Basically, like nobody's using them right now.
Yeah. Which again, I think is probably.
I think we all know. If you don't know who we're talking about with Fu Manchu, just go Google it, and very quickly you'll learn that Christopher Lee once played him in a movie, and if that doesn't, that's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you. Maybe stop listening. I don't know.
So, Marvel Now. Shang-Chi is recruited onto the Avengers at the time by Captain America.
Ba, 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 da, da. Sorry, it's in the theme. Continue.
Oh, man, I wish we were doing a Titans episode.
No.
Jason does the best Titans theme impression.
We're not doing a Titans episode. Nope. That's not coming in here.
So he's recruited by Captain America and Iron Man because the MCU
ba, ba, da, da,
was...
Da,
da. Now give me the Iron Man theme.
There's no Iron Man theme.
because the MCU was beginning to have like a really huge influence on comic book continuity around the time that Marvel Now was happening. So you said the Avengers looked a lot more like it in the movies, stuff like that.
Mm,
so
corporate synergy, you might say.
Can you imagine? We got an event called Age of Ultron that had nothing to do with the movie.
Oh my God.
Together with the Avengers, Shang-Chi fights the Builders during Infinity to protect their universe. This is when Shang-Chi gets a pair of gauntlets, which he uses for cosmic-y spacey battles, which is actually, I think, a smart choice because it gives him mystical powers to stand against actual superpowered human beings.
Yeah, because what are you going to do? Punch an alien that's invulnerable? Come on.
Exactly. The gauntlets, if you're looking for a visual, are pretty similar to the pair that Black Widow wears, which is not as much of a coincidence because during the time, Shang-Chi and Nat worked on a strike team together for the Avengers. So Infinity, one of the smartest things they did in this event is kind of all the non-superpowered Avengers were like the recon team. So they would go in, get a bunch of information or like stab a guy and then come back and send in the big heavies. I thought it was a really smart use of their lineup at the time.
Mm-hmm.
When the Avengers return to Earth, Shang-Chi goes to Madripoor, where he winds up all the time in contemporary comics. With Black Widow, Falcon, and Wolverine, they fight a dragon. So, dragons, worms, wyverns are hugely important in a lot of mythologies, but particularly in Chinese mythology and like Eastern Asian mythologies. From this point forward, you are going to see that every single writer at Marvel is like, what about a dragon, though? I don't know if that's because it's an easy shorthand, again, for Eastern mysticism, like we talked about with Chi earlier. I don't know if it's because these comics were all written after Game of Thrones and dragons were really hip at the time.
Or perhaps they're all fans of Disney's Mulan with the tiny little Mushu dragon.
Wow, I can't believe you knew his name.
Yep.
Good job.
Yep. I have not seen Mulan 1,000 times, so if you want to watch it again, let's go.
Jack Chan sings the Chinese version of Let's Get Down to Business.
Does he really?
Yes, he does. He's the English singing dub.
By the way, I know we have mentioned this on this podcast before, but very early, a couple of years ago when they first announced the Shang-Chi movie,
yeah.
I said on the air, we both said this on the air, where we were like, if they don't have Jackie Chan in a cameo of some type, we are going to riot. And again, what are you doing with your life? We have not seen the movie. But I bet he's not in it, and I'm mad.
Also,
my right as a nerd, sorry to interrupt you, Ashley.
Okay.
My right as a nerd is to get preemptively mad before I've seen the movie.
Exactly. How do you feel about Spider-Man? also, I don't care that she was already in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you are going to waste your association with Ming-Na Wen by not putting her in this movie, I will be angry. So, they fight this dragon.
Who's they?
Shang-Chi, Black Widow, Falcon, and Wolverine.
Thank you.
I already said.
I had taken us off a weird...
How dare.
I had taken us off a weird
track. How dare you ask for clarity?
I was bringing it back for the listeners. Apologies.
Shang-Chi is thrown to the ground, and he might die because he doesn't have superpowers, but he is saved by Spear. Jason, do you know what Spear is?
Oh, man. I do.
And it is an acronym. S-P-E-A-R.
No, then I don't know what it is. Wait. No, is it the giant space station of S.W.O.R.D.?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
Spear. Was, past tense, doesn't exist anymore, current Marvel continuity,
right.
A Chinese intelligence gathering organization created for Homeland Security. It stands for Specialized Personnel for Eradication and Removal.
Okay.
Because it's a ham-fisted acronym, which Marvel loves, but it definitely goes with a sword, shield, spear, right? We're going for like a gladiator kind of thing.
Yeah.
Spear uses Pym particles to grow Shang-Chi to giant size so he can take on the dragon in hand-to-hand combat.
That's actually pretty cool.
Not a joke.
That's actually pretty cool.
It's actually visually very cool. This is not my favorite Shang-Chi outing, but this fight is cool. If you make a note, I will remember to share some of the art.
Actually, what are we doing here? I was actually going to bring up you talking about this idea of him being grown to big size with Pym particles. That to me is an amazing pitch for how we fight Galactus once he shows up in the MCU. Because can you imagine a taller than skyscrapers Simu Liu just karate punching the hell out of Galactus?
And honestly, I would rather see giant Shang-Chi than giant Scott Lang. And I like Scott Lang.
Yeah.
But Shang-Chi is a master of Kung Fu.
I think
Scott Lang is a dude.
I think I'm like, there's no way they don't do that.
Don't know.
Interesting. All right.
He later joined Amadeus Cho, who's known as Braun. He's not actually known as Hulk. Silk, Miss Marvel, Jimmy Woo, and Jake O to do community fundraising work at an event in Flushing's Queen. Flushing has kind of become in the modern age Shang-Chi's neck of the woods in New York City, which is why I was kind of surprised that they set the film in San Francisco. But here we are. When they are later attacked in Koreatown, Manhattan, the group names themselves the Protectors. And then later down the line, they all get renamed Agents of Atlas because Jimmy Woo like has plans and funding and stuff like that. So this is the first iteration of Agents of Atlas. And it's cool because when this happened, it got a lot of press because this was like the Asian American superhero team. And it was kind of the first example of what that could look like in contemporary Marvel comics. It got a ton of press, both good and racist, but the good press is what we're focusing on because it's actually a really good story. I read it in prep for this episode. So they're like recruiting and they're doing stuff and they're being super agents of Atlas. And Amadeus Cho recommends that Domino seeks out martial arts training from Shang-Chi because she doesn't have a ton of finesse in her fighting style. If you are wondering why you know the name Domino, it's probably because you're familiar with the Deadpool movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually leads to a romantic entanglement between the two characters. So Jason, do you think a romantic relationship between these two characters could play out in the Disney sphere?
Domino and Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
I doubt it as well, but I thought I'd bring it up
because
someone's going to ask.
I mean, it's a cool pairing.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I understand why a comic writer did it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. TLDR, Shang-Chi breaks up with Domino because she kills a character named Topaz, who's a witch, and refuses to show mercy. He also stops teaching her because he's like, you might be evil. I'm not into this. During the War of the Realms event, Jimmy Woo launches his Pan-Asian School for the Universally Gifted, Unusually Gifted, I'm so sorry, Pan-Asian School for the Unusually Gifted in Mumbai, India. It's kind of like their version of the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, except it's open to everyone with superpowers, not just mutants. Shang-Chi and the Protectors appear, and this is where they're offered formal, official membership into the Agents of Atlas, as previously mentioned. So that's great.
So they finally get the fringe benefits. They finally get to, like, you know, come to the barbecues and stuff.
Yeah, they finally get put on payroll.
They're like, finally.
It's true. They do get put on payroll. But then
finally go to the dentist.
What happens as soon as you get a super team together? But an invasion. So Malekith, you know, the guy that Christopher Eccleston played in Thor 2, The Dark World.
He's a pointy elf.
Yes. Invades Earth. And so they all fight. They defeat Malekith and the Dark Elves. Ms. Marvel's like, I want to go back to the champions and go back to New Jersey. So she leaves the team. And then as an agent of Atlas, Shang-Chi once again takes up the mantle of mentor because they've lost Ms. Marvel. So they got to go on a recruiting spree. So
in the middle of the War of the Realms?
Well, they kick Malekith out and then they're going to be replaced by Malekith's. Malekith's daughter doesn't attack for like half an issue. So they got time to recruit.
Okay, I guess.
So Ms. Marvel's like, bye. Got to go be in my own Marvel TV show. And they recruit Swordmaster, Arrow, Wave, and Pele, who are all new characters.
Sure.
And they eventually do recruit more new characters. Shang-Chi basically becomes their official, unofficial mentor.
Uncle. Oh, okay.
He is, other than Jimmy Woo, he is the oldest member of the team. He's probably 21 in Marvel Now continuity, which means he's ancient.
He's that young?
He might be 25. But right. Most of this team is actual teenagers. Okay. Amadeus Cho is the leader. And he keeps saying, I'm 20. And Silk keeps saying, you're 19. So yeah, I don't know. Shang-Chi might be 25.
Wow, that's pretty young.
I think Simu Liu's in his 30s.
Yeah, I've always seen Shang-Chi as like 30s.
But he's also, in certain iterations, he's also been a lot. He has a longer life. So
I mean, to me, Shang-Chi is a contemporary of like all the main Marvel heroes. Like he would be around the same age.
Well, Iron Man's 50 in the MCU.
Well, we're talking about the comic books. We're not talking about the MCU right now.
I know.
You know, so like in the comic book continuity, to me, like he would be the same age as Cyclops and Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. And, well, maybe not as Peter Parker, but Cyclops and Captain America and Iron Man and Reed. Like,
yes.
Reed would be a little bit older.
I just bring it up because there are actual children on this team.
I would think Shang-Chi is, I think he's 30.
I would agree, but they definitely draw him closer to 25. He's definitely looks like a youngin. This is also when he gets the slick new costume, where he's not just wearing like a gi, basically.
This is where they give him the red costume.
I like the red costume, the one that they basically just made his movie costume.
Oh, yeah.
So the team then fights Cinder. Cinder is the daughter of Malekith. She's a fire goblin. Not quite a dark elf. It's really weird.
Sure.
She becomes their series-long villain. Thanks to the training from the hands of Shang-Chi, they're able to take her down really easily. And then a bad guy appears named Mike Nguyen, and he's a tech mogul, and he found something called Pan, which is a portal city. So he has a company called the Big Win Company, which is cute because it's spelled like N-G-U-Y-E-N, but it's Big Win. So it's a great, great joke. So he creates a portal city. So sections of Seoul, Tokyo, Manila, Mumbai, Hong Kong, Vancouver, Jakarta, Hilo, Madripoor, Flushing, New York, and San Francisco basically are connected together in a borderless metropolis, and you can walk to the different parts of the different cities if you have a pan, right? Like Pan-Asian, Pan-Pacific, stuff like that. And it's supposed to be this utopia, but it's a way that Mike Nguyen uses to skirt all international law, because technically the Pan Corporation doesn't operate anywhere on Earth, so he doesn't have to answer to anyone. He tries to trick the Agents of Atlas into working for him. He tries to get Jimmy Woo on his side. It doesn't work. They take him down. Then, because of his actions, he has kidnapped a dragon with dragon scales. He harvests the dragon scales to power the portals and all of the magic that's being used on Pan. And so there's also a dragon named Mr. Lao, who is in charge of the Agents of Atlas. He's Jimmy Woo's boss. Mm. And so he sends the Agents of
Atlas. It's a good name, Mr. Lao.
Mr. Lau is the best dragon that you ever encounter.
Whoa, don't be knocking down Mushu here.
In the Marvel comics. Okay. Mr. Lau he's polite, he's very sweet, he's good, and he just wants his girlfriend not to be trapped in Pan.
All us Fantastic Four fans who are fans of Dragon Man are just very disappointed right now, actually.
Also, Fing Fang Foom does make an appearance.
Oh, man, I forgot about Fing Fang Foom.
But Mr. Lau is my favorite.
The dragon who always wears pants.
Not when I saw him.
Wait a minute.
He didn't have no pants on.
What were you doing, Fing Fang Foom?
I was reading Jin Yang Shang-Chi.
What were you up to with Fing Fang Foom?
Wearing his pants were removed.
I'm going to give him a call.
Maybe we will talk to him in a future Doctor Strange special.
I doubt it.
Get a better brush up on your Chinese. And so this basically becomes the War of the Dragons to save dragons. They anger a dragon who lives in Atlantis. Namorita shows up. Namor shows up. There is a war between Pan and Atlantis called Atlantis Attacks, which Jason finds funny because...
Well, I think there's a DC storyline also called Atlantis Attacks.
There definitely is. There's probably also a myth called Atlantis Attacks. Yeah. It's not... Greg Pak does a really fabulous job with Agents of Atlas, but Atlantis Attacks is not... There's probably a Justice League.
He probably didn't decide the title.
No, I
would bet that Marvel editorial did.
Yeah. I'm not putting the blame of that on Greg Pak because it's a really fun storyline. Then in 2020, Shang-Chi finally gets a new solo series that debuted, written by actual genius Jin Yang. And it tells the story of basically Jin Yang and his secret siblings. So,
you mean it tells the story of Shang-Chi and his secret?
Not Jin Yang.
I mean, if it told the story of Jin Yang's secrets, I think that's a book called Dragon Hoops.
Oh my God, Dragon Hoops is excellent.
or American, what's the other book? American Born Chinese?
American Born Chinese.
Which is a great book, by the way.
Yeah.
Or Boxers Insane. We're big fans of Jin Yang.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So.
But yeah, if this was the story of Jin Yang, wow.
LOL. I know. I thought he was a nerd and here he is kicking everyone's butt. Mm-hmm. If you remember the Tense and Origin, I told you that Shang-Chi has these other names, one being Brother Hand, one being Commander Hand. So the Five Weapon Society is all a mystic cult led by Zhang Zhu, Shang-Chi's father. And each one of there's five weapons. It's the hand, the hammer, the sword, the knife, and the rope, maybe. Can't remember the fifth one. So their father dies, and basically the head of all the clans, all the warrior clans, are half-siblings of Shang-Chi. And he, as
Dad got around.
Yeah, Dad got around. And Shang-Chi, as the leader of the Hand Clan, I guess, is supposed to now lead the whole cult because there's a mystic ceremony where a candle lights and they decide that it's him. And he has to team up with some of his other half siblings against his evil sister who leads the Hammer Clan to see who's going to take control of the mystical society away. And Shang-Chi doesn't want it, which of course in fiction means you're the leader who should have it, Ned Stark. And it's whether or not he is going to step up and try to reform them or whether or not he's going to give in to the temptation of all the power around him. I don't want to get into too much detail.
It's being published right now, right?
It just happened, yes. Yeah. And I think it's going to very heavily
sounds like the movie plot.
Yeah.
Even though we haven't seen the movie.
It's really
good. We're excited for the movie, everybody. That's why we keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
We're excited for that.
This is where I'm ending the lesson. Sure. I would definitely check it out, but we're going to the recommended reading, so like just hold
Will that be in the recommended reading as well?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. So that's your lesson on Shang-Chi.
Yay! Woo!
So let's do the recommended reading, shall we?
The recommended reading is a section of the podcast where if you liked the lesson on Shang-Chi, you can go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. We have a list of books and storylines that we think you should check out that are related to each episode. We have it for every single episode of GHL. You click on the little widget, takes you to Amazon, you can pick up the book. It's really, really, really cool. So Ashley, what are the picks that are going to be on the website for Shang-Chi?
So the one that I just referenced, which is Jin Yang's Adventure of Shang-Chi and His Super Siblings, is called Shang-Chi Volume 1 Brothers and Sisters, which pretty much tells you all you need to know.
Yep.
Super easy to find, very in print.
Can I ask you a question about
it? You may.
Okay, because you read it.
I did.
I have not read
literally
it.
4 days ago.
Yep. Do you think people should read it before the movie?
I think if you are unfamiliar with Shang-Chi, I think it's a great primer. I really do. Even if you just read the first volume.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
But I do think there's going to be more jokes in the movie based on the trailer.
Well, of course.
Shang-Chi is he's a very serious character. Not humorless.
What's your next pick for your recommended reading?
Next, I'm going to recommend Greg Pak's War of the Realms, Agents of Atlas. Good Lord. I'm generally not much for events tie-ins, but the only way that this ties in is basically they fight Muspelheim villains. The Agents of Atlas are a really fun group. Shang-Chi actually gets a couple jokes in here. It's fun to see him working on a team. And I have a real soft spot in my heart for Jimmy Woo. So War of the Realms, Agents of Asgard, and then rounding it all out, when I was reading to check out some of Shang-Chi's origin stuff, I picked up Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu Omnibus Volume 1. There's a couple different volumes.
And I think this is the omnibus that was out of print for a long, long time.
It is. It's been very nicely restored. It's very readable. The lettering is good. The lettering on some old stuff is touch and go sometimes. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I would definitely say that you meet it where it is for when it was written. But it's solid comic storytelling for the time. So those are my three recommended readings.
Awesome. What's next, Ashley?
We're going to have a discussion. I just have one question for you. Yeah, just a short discussion.
Okay, what is the discussion about?
Should we have gotten a Shang-Chi movie earlier, in an earlier phase of the MCU?
No.
Great. Why? And it's just an opinion.
So my opinion is that if you look at the Marvel Comics universe, the mm-hmm. actual comics. Mm-hmm. For most of the 60s, it is a lot of the Fantastic Four's cosmic-y adventures,
yep.
the Avengers' cosmic-y adventures, mm-hmm. and Iron Man. It's all those kind of characters, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's science-y stuff. And then in the 70s, because they were really inspired by the black exploitation mm-hmm. and the kung fu, mm-hmm. The kung fu films like exploded. That's when we started getting Iron Fist and Luke Cage mm-hmm. and those kind of characters.
Black Panther.
Black Panther was earlier. Because he showed up in Fantastic Four 52.
Oh, you're right.
55, I think.
But his solo series was
not until later. Yeah. But anyways, so these characters were kind of the second act of the Marvel universe, mm-hmm. the comics universe. So to be honest with you, I kind of feel like we are post Avengers Endgame, and Avengers Endgame took a lot of our main heroes off the table.
Yeah.
And gave us a nice little bow that I kind of feel that Shang-Chi could set up a lot of interesting stuff that is not Avengers stuff. Because, again, all of the other stuff we've seen is Avengers, Avengers, mm-hmm. Avengers. It's all building to Avengers. The Avengers are going to do this, fight this person. The Avengers are going to fight this person. The Avengers are going to fight Thanos. And we're going to travel through time. And Shang-Chi, I think, could open up some interesting doors into some places that would be some non-Avengers mm-hmm. stories.
I'm really hoping that we get magic back here. It's what I liked about Doctor Strange, because mm-hmm. that was something I really adored about the first Thor movie, and then we just stripped all the magic away to make it technology.
And since it seems like everything in the MCU right now is really pointing towards multiverse.
Yeah.
And they say in Doctor Strange 1 that the magic of all the Sorcerer Supremes comes from the energy of the multiverse.
Yeah.
So I think they are going to go that route. But that's kind of what I feel. What do you feel about it? I kind of think that this is kind of the right time to do Shang-Chi. I kind of think if we had done him earlier, or he had appeared mm-hmm. earlier. Okay, if he had appeared earlier, let's just do a thought experiment. Mm-hmm. He would have been an Endgame, right?
Yes, yeah.
Would we have bought a Kung Fu Master fist fighting aliens?
Well, to me,
but I guess Black Widow does.
To me, the pitch to put him in Endgame is he's riding a dragon.
Oh, gotcha.
Right?
Or obviously,
or you lean more on
he gets some gauntlets or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Because like someone is sitting at home saying, you guys haven't talked about the Ten Rings at all. The Ten Rings are like not a thing.
Not with Shang-Chi. Not with Shang-Chi. They have nothing to do with Shang-Chi. They have everything to do with the Mandarin.
And they certainly don't operate the way as a weapon, mm-hmm. a mystical weapon, an energy cipher, right? Like a wand, the way they seem
they're
to be operating.
Rings. Yes. They're actual rings. They're alien rings.
The way they seem to be operating in the trailer. So that's why. Marvel's obviously taking a lot of liberties with this character. Shang-Chi is not a character, which I think you can tell from the lesson, full of personality.
Yeah.
He's quite reserved in that sort of stereotypical, I am an Asian Zen master and I do not speak and I play everything close to my vest.
He speaks in broken English a lot too.
He does, yeah. Which props to Jean Yang. Jean Yang states in Volume 1, Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah, the one that's about his life.
Yep. That,
sorry.
I hate you so much.
I thought that was like the cutest joke ever. I loved it.
He states that Shang-Chi tells Leiko Wu, that MI6 agent who we talked about.
Yeah.
She goes, well, he says, please don't speak to me in Chinese. You speak like a little kid. And she goes, well, you talk like a fortune cookie. And
that's a great line.
It is a great line. And he says, I have found that when I speak to white people,
yeah.
If I speak in longer words and shorter sentences, it makes me seem wise. And mm-hmm. They look at me. They don't look through me,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is such a clever retcon for a really problematic portrayal. So I think these movies are going to, because we've seen Simu Liu play comedy, like he is charming, he's funny, yeah. He's full of personality.
This movie is going to add a lot to the comic book world of Shang-Chi.
Exactly.
Or create the definite take, I think, right?
I agree. Yeah. And it's going to make him a real person. Right now, he's not a real person. He is a monk. He's a battle monk, mm-hmm. Which is cool.
The same thing happened to a lot of other MCU characters.
Tons. I would have liked to see this character earlier for the simple fact of it would have been nice to have a phase one that wasn't all or mostly white guys.
I agree.
Like there definitely should have been more diversity in the first phase, but I think you nailed it. I think Shang-Chi always should have been a second or later act mm-hmm. introduction. I think getting him now with what Marvel's doing in terms of leaning more into cosmic and mysticism, mm-hmm. I think it's a good placement for him.
Well, and also think about this, right? Like the pandemic
mm-hmm.
has put a giant pause in their plan, their Marvel Cinematic Universe plan. When you actually look at it, post-Endgame now,
mm-hmm.
this is only the third movie post-Endgame. So they were like ready for him to go out the gate.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the pandemic put a pause
on
everything.
They actually shot a lot of this. I think they shot all this movie during the pandemic.
They did. They shot this movie last year.
Yeah.
They shot this movie mostly in May, June, and July of last year. So like at the height of the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all of that is to say, I would have liked to see him earlier, but I'm so happy that we're getting him now.
Yep. I'm excited to see this movie.
All right, let's roll right into the next section. Jason's favorite, the teaching tweet.
Yes, the teaching tweet is where Ashley is going to sum up the entirety of this podcast and the amount of characters that fit on Twitter now. I don't know how many characters fit on Twitter now. And you can find this tweet at GHL Podcast on Twitter.
Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. What more do you need to know?
Is that it?
That's it.
All right, cool. Very simple. Very simple.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
You do the wrap up.
No, the honor roll, correct?
Our last
section of the podcast is the honor roll, Ashley.
Before I have the honor roll. What's the honor roll?
The honor roll, Ashley, is where our lovely listeners can go to Apple Podcasts and if they leave us a 5-star review, we will read the review on the air. It doesn't matter what you say. You literally could talk about your grandma. You could give up your grandma's recipes for no-bake cookies. And we will read it on the air because that's a thanks for you helping us, pop in the Apple algorithm and let other listeners know that this is a great podcast. So, Ashley, who is joining the honor roll this week?
So we have two people joining the honor roll this week. The first person is Sleep Tiger 3, who says, the podcast for comics and history geeks. Aloha, I'm James from Honolulu, and I wanted to write how wonderful your podcast is for fans of comic books and history alike. Your in-depth analysis of popular and somewhat less popular comic book characters is informative and entertaining. My favorite podcast usually involves some sort of historical enlightening, and since I love comic books, this makes your podcast my favorite. I appreciate the comical, pun intended, atmosphere that both of you provide every show. The only time I ever cringed was listening when Ashley inferred that Han Solo sexually harassed Leia. I didn't infer it. I said it. He did. She said no 3 times and he still kissed her. But I'm
no
troll.
That was Ashley, by the way, not the review.
But I'm no troll and honestly respect everyone's opinion. Thank you for the great podcast.
What was his name?
Sleep Tiger 3.
I guess I was assuming a his, but Sleep Tiger, thank you so much for the review. I agree with Ashley. Han Solo totally was out of line. And all right, next review.
They are also joined by WanDon23, who says, amazing. This podcast is one of my favorite podcasts ever. I started reading comics during the pandemic because I got tired of waiting for movies to be released. Good for you.
That's a good choice.
So here I am trying to get caught up on the comic book life. My first episode was a read along with The Blackest Night because I'm a Green Lantern fan. John Stewart, to be exact. Excellent taste. You guys make it so easy for people to go get that background information on their favorite superheroes without trying to go back to issue number one. That's hard to get.
And they are hard to get.
It is. And the recommended reading is Chef's Kiss, a great idea. Anyway, keep up the amazing work.
Awesome. What was the gentleman's name?
WanDon23.
I guess, why do I keep assuming gentleman? I'm sorry.
Because you're a man, so that's your default.
Well, thank you both for those awesome reviews. I just want to let you know that how your reviews are being read. Intern Cat Brago walked into the room and is just very curious about the podcast table right now. So thank you both for your reviews. Welcome into the Teacher's Lounge. Professor Mushu is in the room this week teaching how to wear pants as a dragon. Very, very, a very niche course.
Is that the new DreamWorks franchise, How to Wear Pants as a Dragon?
Let's hope so. They can call me anytime. If you want to be an awesome honor roll student, just like those two people, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, everywhere you can find podcasts. And if you know somebody out there who's a big fan Shang-Chi or is very interested or had a great time seeing mm-hmm. the Shang-Chi movie, including Simu Liu, tell them about our podcast. Just share the episode with them. Ashley, where can they find the podcast on social media?
You can find us at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHL Podcast.
That's right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. You can find Ashley on Instagram and Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. And don't forget about the Patreon at patreon.com/Jawin, where you can listen to the GHL Extra podcast. Now we're to the final section of the podcast, the hashtag stick around. Ashley, mm-hmm. we do this to make sure they suck through all the plugs. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
What piece of an action figure is Intern Brago currently sitting on top of?
Intern Brago is actually sitting on to this plastic right now. He's sitting on this plastic firing, it's like fire multiple bullets from War Machine, from my Rodeo, my classic War Machine figure. Okay. It falls off all the time. I love that action figure. Uh-huh. But his little fiery fake bullets fall off all the time.
My and Kitty Pryde's arm falls off all the time.
Yeah.
My actual stick around is, should the Shang-Chi movie have been subtitled Master of Kung Fu?
What do you think?
I think so, because that is a title with legacy and with decades of like power and SEO behind it.
It makes them sound cooler.
Yeah.
Legends of the Ten Rings is kind of like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously they're trying to set up the Ten Rings, or maybe they're playing for the Mandarin fans in the back.
There's no setting it up. The Ten Rings have appeared in multiple MCU movies, but they've done nothing with it.
I just mean, maybe they're trying to position it to be this great thing. Yeah.
The Ten Rings actually show up in the very first MCU movie.
That's true.
They've never changed that logo. And in fact, it was just like they just called the Ten Rings because they didn't want to do the Mandarin.
Yeah.
And now I actually don't think, and we haven't seen this movie yet, so we're making a lot of conjecture here. I don't think the retcon that the Mandarin is Shang-Chi's father is a bad idea. I actually think it's a pretty good idea.
There you go.
But I think they should have just... I actually said this to you earlier. Why didn't they just call the movie Shang-Chi? We have a movie called Black Widow. We have a movie called Captain Marvel. We have a movie called Thor. Why not Shang-Chi?
For the same reason that they're not releasing it for VOD, and I'll just leave it at that.
I know. Well, that is it. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Geek History Lesson. We're glad you had you around. Were you glad you're around? We were glad you're around. This is it for Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Hidden Tiger Inman.
Oh,
Hidden Dragon. Sorry.
Hidden Dragon.
I was trying to bring it all the way back around.
Hashtag GHL Hero. Yes. I am what? Ashley Victoria Robinson. Movie? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You like that movie?
I do love that movie. I saw that movie in theaters.
I saw that movie with you.
That's right. Not in theaters.
No. Right. Many.
Babies. That's it for this podcast. Professor Ashley, will you please close this show out before it rolls off the rails again?
Class is now dismissed.